we do. We work and we grind and we play.
Let's go! Let's go! Bring it up! Bring it up! Bring it up!
It was a record crowd on day four as 6,000 fans were in attendance here at the UC Health Training Center. It was the first padded practice. The hitting was hard, and we are just 43 days away from that opening kick. Welcome into the UC Health Training Center, everybody. I'm Matt Boyer, joined by Phil Milani. And Phil, today, 6,161 fans were treated to a defensive performance.
Yeah, the berm was packed to see the defense put on a show. The quarterbacks really had a tough day, throwing interceptions early, late, a pick six to close practice out by Lorenzo Dawson. You know, when the Broncos hired Vance Joseph to be the head coach, we talked to a few media members down in Miami, and they said the one thing they really liked about Vance Joseph was he was really brutally honest with the media. He said whatever he told the players, he would tell the media, and he did that today for the first time. We really heard him talk about the quarterbacks in a very honest way.
It would have been easy for head coach Vance Joseph to make excuses for his quarterbacks, but as Phil mentioned, not him, not the case today, and the quarterbacks knew that their head coach was not pleased.
Yeah, I like what I saw. Not really. Not really. You know, both guys had issues today. You know, I didn't like what I saw today. Honest. It's NFL football. Make your reads. We have good receivers. They win against anybody. So when you say that, it's not about the overall secondary. It's about the matchup. Okay? 88 and 10 can win. Okay? So find them and throw the ball to them.
As Coach Joseph mentioned, two of the best wideouts in the NFL, you got to make plays.
Yeah, you know, a couple of times Emmanuel Sanders beat Aqib Talib and the throw just wasn't there. And look, there's going to be ups and down days for the quarterbacks. Today just wasn't their day after coming off a pretty good performance on Saturday. So the defense clearly had the upper hand, and especially a guy like Lorenzo Doss. That guy's a ball hawk. I mean, wherever the ball is, that's where he is. He had two interceptions today, and it just seems like film study and paying attention to what guys like Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib and Bradley Roby, he's just soaking it in, and now it's paying off. And, you know, I think he's really responded to the Broncos going out, drafting Brandon Langley. He said, no, hey, I'm still that guy who I can fill in when needed in a dime situation. He wants to be the guy on the field.
We told the people about it yesterday. I mean,
exactly.
Are we going to take credit for Lorenzo here?
He said, hey, Lorenzo, can we have a second after practice? He said, anything for you guys.
Well, we told you about Lorenzo yesterday, and today was no different. Two big interceptions, and his veteran teammates are taking notice.
Man, just eyes, and just knowing the defense being in the right spot, trusting my teammates. They're in great position, so I know I have to be in great position and just making plays on the ball.
Oh, man, Doss is always around the ball. He's always making plays, and that's just who he is. And he just continued to grow and get better. He got big competition this year, and he wanted to just show that he's worthy to be here.
And Doss, you know, he's naturally always around the ball. So if he catches it, he's going to intercept it. But, you know, sometimes he doesn't catch it, so we'd be on his head. But, you know, he had two huge pick sixes for us. And, you know, that's the maturation process. He's becoming, you know, a guy now. So that's good to see.
Lorenzo Doss expected to heavily factor into that no-fly zone depth chart. Another guy that's going to heavily factor into the depth chart, maybe sooner than expected, DeMarcus Walker.
Yeah, you know, they drafted DeMarcus Walker in the second round. They thought that he could be a guy who comes in on third down, a pass rusher from the interior. But, you know, when injuries happen, they lost Shaq Barrett earlier. Now Shane Ray goes out. When you're a rookie, you got to find ways onto the field. And DeMarcus Walker can play outside. He did that at Florida State and said, hey, why not me now? So we saw him move over in practice today, and it seemed like he was doing okay out there. He said it's not that big of an adjustment for him.
Yeah, we asked him afterwards if this was going to be a huge transition. DeMarcus Walker is not sweating it.
It's pretty good. You know, it's something I did in high school, college, of course. So, you know, I'm just trying to help win. You know what I'm saying? Whatever I can do to contribute to this team and help win the Super Bowl. So whatever coach asked me to do, you know, I do it.
When we drafted DeMarcus, okay, our vision for DeMarcus was to be a sub rusher, okay, on third downs and be an inside rusher, and on first, second downs to have the ability to play inside and outside. So obviously, with our outside linebacker numbers down, he's working outside with with Coach Pug, you know, for the next couple of weeks, you know, so we can have some depth there. But on third downs, he can still go inside and do his job that we drafted him for.
Back now with our Broncos insider, Steve Atwater. And Steve, we just heard from DeMarcus Walker and Coach Vance Joseph. When guys make position changes like that, especially during training camp, how difficult can that be? I mean, you've probably seen it with cornerbacks and safeties, but how hard can that be during this early period?
I think it can be difficult. However, in DeMarcus Walker's case, he's played on the edge in college. He was very successful at it, and I don't think it'll be much of a transition at all since he's used to that.
All right, let's get to Atwater's A-list for today. I know you've gone offensive line a couple of times. Today, we're back here again.
Back here again. Love the big man. Today on Atwater's A-list is Menelik Watson. He's 6'5", 315-pound offensive tackle. This guy is a man's man, and when you see him, you'll know exactly what I mean. Menelik today did not make any errors that I saw, and I talked to him briefly after practice, and he mentioned that he was specifically working on his footwork, and he's trying to take one thing at a time. So he's my A-lister for today. Again, no mental errors that I saw, and also nobody got into the backfield on his side.
On the defensive side of the ball, a couple of picks we saw from a guy in the secondary. This is a group that you know well.
Yes. Today on my A-list for the defensive side of the ball is Lorenzo Doss, cornerback. He's in his third year out of Tulane University. Yesterday, you guys mentioned him on Broncos TV, and today I saw him today. He was making plays all over the field. He knocked down a couple of passes, and he intercepted another. As a matter of fact, after practice, the defensive coordinator, Joe Woods, mentioned that he's like a four-leaf clover. He's always around the ball. He's extremely lucky when it comes – I won't say lucky, but he's always around the ball, and he has a knack for being around the ball. The only thing is he needs to make sure that he's continuing to improve in other areas of his game.
As long as we keep talking about Doss, he keeps making interceptions, so we just got to keep bringing him up, keep bringing him up. A guy that we're going to bring up now, though – a guy you're very familiar with. We saw him out today at practice, an old teammate of yours, Terrell Davis.
Yes, Terrell Davis, was great to see him. He's always looking good, always looking fit. And it's really special for him to be able to go into the Hall of Fame, knowing that he and I had a great relationship throughout the time that he was here, from the time that he first got here up until this day.
We also have a special interview for you right now. Steve had a chance to catch up with Terrell to talk about the Hall of Fame and fashion choices when it comes to the gold jacket.
Good friend Terrell Davis, we shared the same birthday. I don't know if many people know that. What's it feel like to be back in Colorado after the big news that
it's great. First of all, my man, look at him, man. He's got a mic in his hand. Steve is doing his thing, man. Hey, I am so proud of him. This is my dude. What people don't know is my rookie year. You would help me a lot. I tell people this. So, you know, while we're doing our little team periods, you would come to me and you would give me advice on what you saw from me. Whether it was tipping off something with the run, my eyes, or whatever, or my head was too low, Steve would always help me out. So this is my big brother, man. I'm proud of him. Now your question was, how does it feel to be here?
Right.
Feels great.
Right. Beautiful Colorado weather hasn't changed a bit.
It feels great. You know what, Steve? Every time I see training camp, the first thing you get in your mind is, could you still play today? Mm-hmm. We ask ourselves that question.
I know the answer to it, though.
I know the answer, but we asked ourselves that question because mentally, I think I can still play.
Yeah.
It's the physical part that I don't think.
You look pretty good, man. You look like you can.
Yeah. That don't let the smooth taste fool you,
right,
Steve.
Right.
You know how it is, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't play out here, but it's great to see the guys and see in training camp because this really represents a new start for everybody.
Right.
And I distinctly remember being in training camp thinking that, why not us?
Right.
Exactly. Why not this being the year that we take it to a Super Bowl?
Exactly.
And I think all of these guys here, they feel the same way about the journey. Forget what everybody else says about this team. I think they can do whatever they want to do. I mean, obviously, if they get a few things right on offense. But I think it's a great time for them. Everybody's excited, and they're very optimistic about the future, which is good.
Right. Now, how does it feel, and what do you think about being the fifth player in the history of the organization to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Man, it feels great. It really does. It's hard to put into words what it actually means. Because if I say it, you know, it's great, it's wonderful, I don't think those words, you know, accurately describe how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a feeling, man, that you never – I don't think I've ever experienced. Like, I've won Super Bowls. We've won Super Bowls. And it's not that feeling. It's different because it's happened so late. You know, you're done playing. Everything's already in, you know, in the barn, as they say. And all of a sudden, they look up and say, hey, we appreciate what you did 16 years ago. So we're going to give you an award, the biggest award you can possibly ask for, and enshrine you into football immortality. Exactly. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's hard for me to put my mind, wrap my mind around it, because I didn't grow up thinking about the Hall of Fame or saying that's something I want to do. It happened.
What type of pants go with the gold jacket?
Oh, that's a great question. That is a great one, man. I don't know.
You're going to be looking good.
I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going to go home today, and then I'll figure it out tomorrow. But, yeah, hopefully.
All right.
Terrell thank you.
Davis, thank you very much. It's great seeing you.
Good to see you, man.
Yes, yes.
Our thanks to Terrell Davis for taking some time. And Mace, Andrew Mason on now with us. Mace, you're a man of impeccable fashion taste. What kind of pants are you wearing with a gold jacket?
Well, I'm going to go with the Shooter McGavin choice when he pilfers the gold jacket at the end of Happy Gilmore. He's got the whole gallery chasing after him. It's the black slacks with the gold jacket. I just hope I don't get beat up by Mr. Larson.
Mid-90s movie. I like it, Mace. All right, so now from pants to position battles, okay, we're talking about the wide receivers. This is a position battle that has a lot of people talking, a lot of the critics talking. What have you seen so far? What are the names that you've seen rise to the top?
Well, let's start with the guy who's been working mostly as the first number three receiver. That's Benny Fowler. He's going into his third season with the team on the 53-man roster, fourth year overall out of Michigan State. He's had made some impressions, had some good moments so far. He's on a vegan diet now, looks to be in pretty good condition, has made some plays. The Broncos probably want to see him make a few more plays, but it gets interesting after that. You know, they actually moved Emmanuel Sanders inside of the slot a few times on Sunday. You know, I don't think it's something they're going to do a lot, but it's something that could be another tool in the drawer. And that kind of opens things up. You might see Jordan Taylor in the mix because he can line up outside. He has a chance to be the number three receiver. Remember, among the returning wide receivers, beyond Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, he had the most catches, most receiving yards last year, pardon me. So he could be in the mix. You get to the rookies, Isaiah McKenzie, maybe not a number three receiver, but can be a change of pace guy, very small, very quick, and can make some guys miss. And they would like to see Carlos Henderson emerge at some point. He's developing a little more slowly, perhaps, than people expected. Had a big play today, you know, was caught the ball in stride from Paxton Lynch. You know, the ball was out in front of him, turned upfield for a big play. And then don't forget about a guy like Cody Latimer. He's going into his fourth year. You know, it's the last year of his contract, second-round pick. The production hasn't lived up to the draft status so far. He needs to take a step forward. He's got a chance on kickoff returns. But I mentioned all those names. That's five guys. And if all of them made it, that's seven wide receivers. I don't know that seven wide receivers make the 53-man roster. So it's going to be some very tough choices coming for the Broncos.
Yeah, Coach Vance Joseph will have his work cut out for him as far as that film study and going through each one of those guys. We heard from Coach earlier in the show. He did not mince words when it came to the quarterback battle. He wasn't particularly happy with what he saw today. What did you see today from those two guys, Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian?
Well, obviously, it's very tough going against the no-fly zone, but that really only accounts for going against the first-team defense. You would expect that two guys, when they're battling for the starting job, that if they're going up against the second-team defense, they would make some plays and be able to take advantage of opportunities. They couldn't always do that. There were some open receivers missed. I mean, if you were kind of scoring this, say, in soccer terms, you'd probably call it a nil-all draw and you want to forget about it and go on to the next game. And I think both Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch, they'll watch the film, they'll learn from it, but I think they kind of want to move on to the next day. And what we've seen throughout the offseason is that when the offense had a bad day, when quarterbacks had bad days, they did very well the next day. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they have in store for us on Monday. They should do a lot better.
You've managed to work a Happy Gilmore reference and a soccer reference into our little segment here. This is why we come to Mace for all the information. Mace, we appreciate you taking some time.
No problem. Take care.
Now, if you want to hear more from Mace this week at training camp, be sure to tune in to Orange and Blue Radio 3 to 7 inside the Broncos. You can catch that on 760, your AM dial, and, of course, on the iHeartRadio app. Back now with Phil Milani again, the closer. We bring you in every single day. What do we have to look forward to for day five? This is going to be the last time before a day off on Tuesday.
Well, today we saw the defense really come out and show a lot of energy, and I think that they were upset about the way that they practice on Saturday. Maybe the inverse of that coming out on Monday, the quarterbacks come out, play, have a strong day. The offense overall have a strong day, and it's the last practice before an off day on Tuesday, so nobody wants to be left with a bad taste in their mouth. So I'd expect the offense to come back and show a little bit of that competitive spirit.
We got to show that competitive spirit tomorrow. It's the last day before the day off, right?
Gotta bring it. I always bring it. So I know you do. What you're talking about.
All right. We will definitely be bringing it tomorrow for day five. Same time, 7 p.m. Be sure to tune into DenverBroncos.com, though. The entire day we'll have all of the coverage from day five. But for Phil Milani, I'm Matt Boyer. We bid you so long for tonight, but we leave you with Joe Woods mic'd up.
Let's roll. Let's go to work. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Oh! Woo! Go, tuck the ball away. Does. Good play, boy. Set, heat. Good. Reload it. Reload it. You trying to hit. Get on top. Get on top. There we go. Huddle up. First group. Give me that service squad. What I want to do
is make sure they're good with that.
Yeah, I want to create the tape.
Right, yeah.
One more. Last one. Stay low. Don't round it. There you go. We want it. Slide back.
I just covered the mic up on that one.
They'll edit that. Because you ended up being right about 6 yards, and you came, you got the slant. But when you broke on the slant, you went just like this. And that one, that's why I want to show that one Doss had. Because Doss came here, and then when he broke, he left his eyes there. Because your eyes always keep you clean on double moves. Stay on top. Take away. What's the most dangerous route? 9. Make him. So when he comes here and he stutters, keep going forward and you stutter with him on top. So go ahead and stutter with me. Stutter, stay on top with the stutter. Then when he goes, you're on top. When he stuttered, you sat down. Now he's gone. Let's go. Reload it. Let's go. Hey, let's go.
Woo! That's the way to drown them.